good looking out. Frost will let me be a part of this one.
Hey, yo, what's good? This is Big Daddy Kane.
Yo, check this out. This is Chuck D. Keep it locked. You're tuned into The Library. The Lies of Berry with Tim Einico.
Independent hip-hop producer Frost Gambo has worked with Sadat X, J-Roll, Coogee Rap, King Crooked, Sky Zoo, Guilty Simpson, Young Bleed, and with Detroit award-winning rappers Zoe the Jerk and Frost Gambo join me today in The Library with Tim Einico. Thank you guys for joining me.
What's good? Thanks so much for having me out, Tim.
Fighters and guns, root slums. It has begun. Alonzo the third, another one like the other one. Charisma class has some with a prep of fun. I perform a number one.
Cross, you read your bio and it says, quote, in the 80s, you fell in love with hip-hop culture, participating in break dancing, graph, beat digging, and emceeing. If you could quickly, what did you love about each of those elements?
Man, it started with the break dancing craze, right? That's like when it kind of came on my radar in the early 80s. And I'll be honest, like I was just a kid and it was like what was cool. So it wasn't any deeper than that at first. But I felt drawn in. So I was listening to acts like the Fat Boys, UTFO, Houdini, all the stuff from that era. And I was just loving it. But I was also trying to listen to the stuff the other kids were listening to, you know, the Michael Jackson, the Whitesnake, the Madonna, whatever it was. But by the late 80s, when 87, when Rakim was out and Juice Crew started coming out and the lyricism just elevated, I just became absorbed by it. And one thing we were talking about yesterday, The Message is probably the most important song to me because it really connected with me because my sister and I, we grew up poor and we didn't have much and we were very self-conscious and unhappy about that. So that song really resonated with me, but it was also the things they were talking about. They're talking about danger and things that I didn't have to worry about.
Right.
So it also made me appreciate my own situation more. So it was so much deeper and more meaningful than regular music. And from there, that's when I started trying to pen rhymes and studying what the legends and veterans had done. Started coming into the scene at that point in time. There was a mix show in upstate New York where you could submit your material, and I got mine on there and started getting my name out there. And that's what led to being in ciphers and outside barbershops and on corners rhyming. And that's how I met Tone Shop, who I've been working with since. And just kept getting deeper and deeper into the culture.
So how did you get to going from like local rap battles to producing?
Well, it's really it's my skill set, or perhaps my lack of skill set. Like the thing with working with Chop, like he was just his flow and his cadence and his voice were just so better than mine. Like he was just better than me. So, and meanwhile, I was, like, really enjoying, learning how to dig for breaks. And DJ Spinna used to live next door to me in Bampton. I used to stand over his shoulder and watch. There was this cat from Brooklyn that was up as well. And I used to stand over his shoulder when he banged on the MPC. And I just started soaking it up. And, it starts with trying to make beats for yourself.
Right.
But then I started realizing I'm a little better at this than I am at that. And that's how it started. In the 90s... I was really tired of being poor. And one of the biggest things hip-hop taught me is like hip-hop from that era wasn't like your only choice is to be a rapper or whatever. Right. It was go for yours. That was always the message of hip-hop. Go for yours because I'm going to get mine. So I just took that mentality into the corporate world. I got to school, got a degree, slowly started getting my life together. And, I was just making beats on the side. But kept getting better and more serious about it, and just over time it started to build into something more serious and eventually a thing where it's become pretty substantial.
Do you remember, was there like that you talked about The Message, but was there like one moment or one maybe event, album, lyric, beat that you remember hearing that's like, all right, I want to do that, like or that's my goal, this is the beat I want to be able to make?
Well, on the music and culture side, it was really like By All Means Necessary and It Takes a Nation to Hold Us Back, the KRS and Public Enemy albums. And I just, the years that came out, I think it was 88, I just, my God, I must listen to those albums a million times. And it really changed my worldview and, really brought me in fully. As far as the beat side, it was Diamond D's Stunts, Blunts, and Hip Hop. That album absolutely blew my mind, and the way he would sample from so many different genres, and just fearless in what he would sample, and he was nice on the mic, and he was doing it all, and I was like, I want to be like that guy.
Right.
It was Diamond D for sure.
You know, you grew up in Binghamton, New York, and then you traveled around, and you eventually ended up in Winnipeg, Canada. What were, like, for you, when you first got to Winnipeg, what were kind of the major differences and similarities in terms of the hip-hop scene in those two places?
The hip-hop scene in Winnipeg is pretty cool, man. It's pretty supportive and healthy. It's a small market, an isolated market. You know, so if you're checking for Canadian hip-hop, people are generally checking for Toronto or Vancouver. Winnipeg doesn't get paid a lot of attention, although there's been some artists that have, you know, broken out and done some good things. Like this upcoming Saturday when I get back home, there's a hip-hop barbecue where the whole scene is coming together to, you know, roast pig and drink beer. So it's good, man. I really enjoy it. And just in Canada in general, I love it. You know, not to pile on in the States, but it's a good time to be in Canada right now as an expatriate American. Yeah, I'm really happy there, man.
And you've worked with obviously a lot of people. You're living in Canada, and then so how do you link up with a Detroit MC?
Yeah,
the jerk.
Hip hop.
How does that work?
Hip hop. He was back in 2014, I'd released my first compilation album, really when all this stuff was setting off. He had just released an album as well called Live the Reality Show, and he was hosting a podcast. And we had a mutual publicist, and we didn't realize at the time it was kind of a setup because she thought we would get along well together and work well together. But she booked me, I think I was the first guest on the show. And we chopped it up, and just, you know, immediately we knew we had so much in common. And the more we got to know each other, we realized how similar we call each other twins. Like, we have a lot of similar characteristics and outlooks. And, we set it off right away within probably the first month we did our first track. And from there, we've been to Atlanta together, Detroit together, and just been grinding.
And that first track was Honey, right? Is that correct? Or?
What was the first try? Smoke screens. Oh, okay. Smoke screens, yes.
I'm up before the sunrise, first to hit the block. Little bad motherfucker, back a Uzi or a Glock. It is what it is, see this movie never stops. The violence is real and his Uzi ain't a prop. Randy play the numbers every week in retrospect. I die for respect before I live for a check. They say justice blind is a gift for cataracts. Truth ain't a fact. Perception is a gift. Fear is imagined.
Before we get into some of the music you guys have created together, I want to talk about a track that Leave It Alone with Tone Chob, Ruster Jux, and Nobi. It's a tribute to Sean P.
Sean Price, yes.
His album is going to be released tomorrow.
Yes.
What was it about?
Everybody should go buy that too, by the way. Support his family.
What was it about Sean P that kind of like that spoke to you that like you guys want to create this track for him?
Sean Price is just the purest example of a lyrical MC. He says the most with the least words. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't need dense wordplay. Like, he'll put four lines in a bar, and you'll just know, like, you'll just feel it. And like, oh, he said.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean was everything. And I always wanted to work with Sean. He was, you know, he was one of my absolute favorites. But you couldn't approach Sean P on Twitter like, you know, hey, you want to hear some beats? Like, that wasn't going to go anywhere. So I always felt like I would come down here, you know, probably know a couple people in Brooklyn, someone would introduce me or whatever, but I never did it. And he passed on my birthday.
Oh man.
He's only a couple of years or a year older than I am or whatever. So I really, you know, I deeply regretted not reaching out, trying to make that happen. I promised to never make that mistake. So, that's why I reached out to Rusty Jux right away, because, you know, he's his protege and super nice on the mic. You know, when we set out to do the Veteran EP, we wanted to do, you know, that kind of tribute, but it couldn't be corny because we didn't know him. You know, we didn't know him personally. We didn't want it to be like a come up, like we're trying to come up on his name or whatever. We wanted it to be a sincere appreciation. So, you know, we played the track for Jux, and, you know, I asked him if he think this is corny, we'll dead it. You know, and he's like, nah, this is dope. I'm going to jump right on it. He did. He smashed it. Chop smashed it, and Nobi is Chop's boy. He's from Queens, and you know he'd worked with Price before, so it made sense. And he brought it home perfectly with the last couple lines about, you know, shouting out P. So, you know, we did it lyrically rather than you know, sort of a sad kind of tone. It was more celebratory.
I'm just trying to show you the difference between niggas who talking and niggas who walking and living. We stand.
tall and I pivot, and nobody whispers R.I.P. to Ruff, but he's in the studio, I can feel it, turn the beat off, put the speaker close to your ear, and you can hear him flow in the spirit, nigga, no one's comparing, but for now, pay some homage to the homie from Queens, your views on life is black and white like they ain't no in-betweens, well allow me to introduce you to the gray area, the area where niggas like me could care less, bruh, we ain't hating on you, we barely pay you any mind, don't forget I'm a Terminator by design, if I see you getting jumped, and them niggas need help, I pull the cables out the trunk and strangle niggas myself. What?
I want to turn to you guys working together, and but Zoe, I want to get to you. Like, do you remember, kind of same question, do you remember like the first album you heard that, or even track that you're like, all right, I'm doing this, or this is what I want to do?
The first rap track I heard was the Rapping Duke. That was the first song I ever heard. The album that made me know I wanted to rap was Dana Dang. That was phenomenal. His way of storytelling, I was like captivated. You know what I'm saying? So that's back in the day when we buying cassettes. So it was like, I'm little, I hustled up $10 to buy the CD because they were like $9.99 out of this store called Justin's in Detroit. And my mom's like, that's what you want to take your money and buy? That garbage? I'm like, yeah. And I got it, and it just blew my mind. And I've been in love with hip hop ever since, man.
On your on your promo video, you talk about how you used to put your headphones on and like listen to escape. Do you know what you like? Kind of what was your go to song to escape? And also, like, what were you for listeners? What were you escaping?
For us, like we say, we're similar. We grew up poor. You know, I grew up on a block called Montrose in Detroit. There was a lot of things going on. Like even in elementary school, like, kids were selling like crack. You know what I'm saying? It was like a real impoverished just time around the city. It was kind of depressing. Moms wasn't working. We stayed with grandma, and I'm the only boy living with like five girls. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In a two bedroom, I had nowhere to go. So the music was my only way to get out.
Right.
So it's like I can put headphones on and just like zerp totally out. But I used to listen to Slick Rick, N.W.A. This is when I had to sneak to listen because I had no business listening to those lyrics where I get in trouble.
So parental advisory.
Yeah. So I had to like sneak and listen to it. But Big Daddy Kane was a favorite. Man, I used to just go like, you make your own mixtapes. I didn't know that's what they were then. But, you know, you could set you put all your songs in the order you want to hear them. And I would just have tapes and just pop them and play, pop them and play. And your world would end when the tape broke. Like, no. I learned how to actually splice them together. They didn't know that's what I was doing, but I had to try to fix them with Scotch tape so they'd still play. But that was the escape, man, just to get my mind off of what I had to deal with, because I was the kid who got bullied on the block.
Man.
Because the other kids were a little more fortunate than we were, so it was like they would try to bully me, and they would be like, man, they always picking on me. So then she didn't want me to go outside because it was like 20 dudes on the block.
Man.
And the crazy part is most of those dudes that I went through stuff with, best friends to this day.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But it was just a hard time in development. It was just a young black man trying to find my way. And hip-hop guided me. Too Short taught me about women. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was just, I learned so much from hip-hop. It was crazy, man.
So then when you started doing it, what purpose, and it's going to be kind of a similar question for you as well, Frost, but what purpose did it serve for you? What did you want to get listeners to take away from you, and kind of how has that developed to now?
Well, when I first, I didn't even think about it that deep. Mm. It was kind of just like the fad. Everybody wanted to rap at a certain point.
Right.
You know, when it was fresh, it was new, because I'm from the hip hop shop era in Detroit. So you got like Royce 5'9", there was a crew called 31 Flavors, and a lot of them went on to become members of D12.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? It was just a then you had, I remember Bizarre used to be crazy. He didn't used to rap like that. He used to be bananas, bro. And I remember I first saw Bizarre get up there, and he was spitting, and he said, and ride away on a giraffe like Dikembe Mutombo. And I said, wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I grew up in an era where I didn't really think about the crowd. It was more being respected and impressing other MCs.
Right, right.
So I didn't even look at it that way until I started actually – developing more and saying when Jay Dilla and Proof actually taught us you can make a living doing this. So it's like, okay, let me start to think about what I want to convey to people and what I want them to get back to me, because it's exchange of energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I relate to that very much. I always felt self-conscious about being poor and felt uncomfortable and felt judged, you know, like most of the most of the kids where we grew up were doing better. And I felt judged and uncomfortable. The thing about the hip hop community is you weren't judged by your financial status. You were judged by your skills, right? And judged by your character. And skills are something I could develop. I couldn't do nothing about my financial situation as a child, but I could do something about a backspin. I could do something about a rhyme. I could do something about beat digging. So that's what it was. Absolutely. I mean, and to this day, I don't care anything about being rich or famous. That's not what this is about. But I do care about, you know, earning the respect of the people that I've respected all these years.
And it looks like, I mean, when you look at both your kind of discography and who you've worked with, it seems that, I mean, yeah, you, I mean, obviously you care about fan, you can care about the fans, but at the same time, you're surrounding yourself with fellow artists that seem to care about what other artists think about them.
Yeah.
Not to be a dick, but like more so than like what a fan would think about them. Like, all right, like this is like lyrically, this guy's amazing, or you know, like his technique is, you know, is incredible.
Yeah, like we make the records we want to listen to. One of the nicest compliments I was paid as a producer is one of the projects was reviewed last year, and they said, "This sounds like nothing on the radio. Like they don't even pay attention to the radio." And I was like, "That is such a nice compliment because that's so true. We simply make the music we want to listen to, and we feel incredibly fortunate that anyone else wants to listen to it. And the fact that people are now is it's a privilege, and we love it."
Frost, when you're as a producer, when you're working with artists such as Zoe the Jerk, how do you I guess stay true to kind of his mission, his goal of an album or a track?
Yeah.
What is that? Like, I mean, does he write a verse and you do the beat, or is you he's sending you beats, or vice versa?
How's well, it's a great question because first of all, it comes to our chemistry and trust. As a producer, like I take the producing part of it very seriously. I'm not beat making for him. I'm trying to draw his soul out on a track. I'm trying to get him to share all these personal details. And you know, for a lot of us, for a lot of men, that's not an easy thing to do. So we have to have that trust and that chemistry and you know, really understand what he's trying to say and what he's looking for. And I know his heart well enough, you know, to know that what he's talking about when he says, you know, I'm writing this particular topic, and this I want this particular sound. So I'll send him track ideas, and you know, it's usually pretty quick. This is the one. He goes in fast when his pen moves. I got to get my butt in motion. we knocked out 5 tracks here last night. He's a beast. So it's been pretty easy so far.
I came up with this question when I was driving over here, but I was listening to Risk Versus Rewards, and you say, which is off Black Beach. And you spit, and I apologize if I mess up the "That's Why I Don't Rhyme." you said, pretty much just as when your granny passed, you had these mixed emotions, and you like maybe you know you should have dealt with it a little better. For you, what is that? What kind of rhyming is for you? Kind of a therapy? Kind of a you know, it helps you make sense of what's happening personally or even within the world.
So I'm like I'm probably a producer's nightmare, so to speak, because you never know what I'm going to say. Like I never have a, I don't, I may premeditate a topic, but I never know, like, my flow scheme will change with whatever the beat's doing or whatever feeling it gives me. But I found strength in being vulnerable. You know, I through being, you know, the way I grew up and some of the things I endured, it's like, if I can say it, it holds no power over me no more. You know what I'm saying? So it is like a therapy, but it's so many other people who feel like that. You know what I'm saying? So that was like my grandmother died of lung cancer, and I had to take care of her. And I took care of her one weekend. I took a break, and I went to Michigan State to go play in a basketball game. Came back, and she died. And I said, wow, I sat there all these months taking care of you, and I left, and this happened. So for me, the trauma that knowing that I missed that last day, it still stick with me to this day. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear me mention my grandmothers a lot, you know what I'm saying, because I learned a lot from them. But the therapy of that and being able to relate to other people that go through similar circumstances and let me be a voice for that, for me, that's what it's about. A few people have asked me about that bar, like, dude, I'm like, because it'll make you think about your grandmother. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's, you know what I'm saying, that's deep. And that's what hip-hop is about. That's when you start to connect people. And that's when the movement starts to actually move, you know what I'm saying? But that's my job. I gotta be able to make you visualize your life and see my life, and then we get a mutual respect for each other because it exceeds race boundaries and everything. Everybody got a grandma. Everybody got a mom and dad, whether you had a relationship with them or not. That may be a sore point. I didn't even have know my grandmother. He felt like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll put you there, man.
That's also like, I mean, that's a lot to, especially in rap, it's a lot to convey, to throw out on the, put out on the table, right? Like, you're showing vulnerability and you're showing emotion. And, you know, in hip hop, a lot of people are like, you're not supposed to do that because she's, you know, strength, man. And so, I mean, that, when I was listening to it in the car right here, that lyric, I almost crashed, but I, you know, I had to pause it and rewind. And I was like, all right, let me just make double check and get these lyrics correct.
I got blood on my hands, no one understands the plight of the Afrocentric black man. Punk niggas trying to play me. See the business was shady. Wanna steal my ideas, didn't know I wasn't faded. This way raised a man who will die for his morals. Convictions of a saint, bluntly move forward. Niggas say we brothers, yet only offer envy, spite and hate.
When you hear that, when you hear those lyrics, do you, as the producer, I mean, how do you, what are you doing? Are you like creating another, are you editing your beat or creating a beat to kind of help with those emotions? Or?
Happens all the time. I'll create something. I'll send it to him and he's right. I never really know what he's going to do. It's different flows all the time. Like he's super meticulous about that. And it surprises me. So very common, he'll send something back and I'll go, fuck, the beat's not good enough. Because he'll kill it. He'll just absolutely murder it. And then I'll go back and let it up and I put some more spice on this, tweak it up, you know, make it up to par with what he just did. He keeps me on my toes that way. And I think our music is much better as a result.
When you guys did the track Honey, it was chosen by 22 Entertainment for their God Bless Dope Rappers collaboration. What did you guys, Zoer, Frost, you know, what did you hope would come from this?
This, I just want to give credit to 22 Entertainment here and Tony Butcher. That I targeted him. There was a service called Music X-Ray, where you could send your tracks out to industry professionals, and I did my research on the folks that were on there, and this was a guy who had worked with, you know, Royce of 5'9" and Joe Button and a lot of people that I respected in the days. So I felt like he would understand what we were doing more so than maybe some of the young A&Rs that were signed looking for the new acts, the new sounds that I wasn't going to bring. So we targeted him, and that track was you know, an important start. He'd actually selected one track for me before called True Born King with Tone Chop and Charlie Fetta off of my 2014 release, and then this Honey release, you know, he took that on as well. So that's what really started the relationship and set a lot of things in motion.
So I'm actually friends with Luther Ingram Jr., Luther Ingram's son, the guy who sung If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Do Right. And they're putting together an autobiography of his life, a movie, and he came to me and wanted me to submit a song for the movie soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
So that led to us doing a whole project called Muscle Shoals, which is actually this movie soundtrack, uh-huh, once they get everything done. And it was phenomenal. So we started moving around with Honey. And see, that's one of the things I say about me being an artist. Like, you listen to Risk Worst Reward on this end of the spectrum, and then you got Honey is the whole other spectrum. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the key for me, like, with that song was just to be able to talk about a woman, be masculine, but still be empathetic to the femininity of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got Luther Ingram giving me this crazy groove and giving me these vocals on here, and I gotta try to get in the same headspace he was in. That project is amazing. I can't wait till that get to daylight. That's, you talk about some vulnerability, that's crazy, man. But I was just grateful to 22 Entertainment for even picking that song up, because I didn't think that was gonna happen at all.
When you guys do like a project like a Black Beach, is that something? I mean, you talked about how, like, you guys know each other so well, but do you still try to constantly work in studio together, or actually versus like just emailing stuff back and forth? Or, I mean, obviously you're in different parts of the world, so it's hard to do, but what do you find works the best in terms of collaboration, and especially for something like Black Beach, was that mostly in studio together or emailing back and forth type stuff?
Well, we had a session in Detroit, and we worked on Loyal Victims, but most of it was done by email. We actually changed most of the album, in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah,
like 70%. I just didn't like none of it no more.
I mean, like completely did
and
tracks.
Started completely over. I know I probably gave Frost a heart attack. Like, what? I'm like, dude, it's just not. I don't like it. You know what I mean? But like you say, my pen moved pretty quick, and I didn't want to be stuck with a label. Okay, you're a conscious rapper. And I'm just an MC. Like, period. I'm a pure artist. So you never know what you might get from me. But I was like, I want to do a snapshot of what it's like to be black in America today. You know what I'm saying? So that was the whole theme of Black Beach. Like, I really want to convey what's going on right now, because I'm an activist. You know, I do a lot of community work, and I was seeing it getting flooded with so much energy. Like, I had to get that out. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like this is going to be the overtone of everything, but that connotation and message, because, you know what I'm saying, I'm a man at the end of the day. All these different sides will be in there. That's the paradox and the contradiction of being a man. You know what I'm saying? But that snapshot was just important, kind of like a Marvin Gaye's what's going on.
Yeah,
this is what's happening. You know what I mean? And some people said, you know, it may come off angry. Like, some of it is angry. Why wouldn't I be? Like, what we really living through. If I didn't give you the true emotion and passion, it wouldn't be a sincere project.
Right.
You know, I didn't try to censor the emotion of it. Like, that's what I do. You know what I'm saying? I'm angry on some of these. You know what I'm saying? So it had to come out that way. And the beautiful part about working with Frost is he never censored me. He like, say it.
Yeah, right.
Just rock out with it, dude. Whatever you feeling, I got you. And that's beautiful, especially me knowing he's a white guy, I'm a black guy, and I know sometimes I might say some total crazy shit, and he's like, oh God, he's really taking it there. But he rock with me, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's the beauty of it. That's the whole point, is Black Beach, we got a white producer, black guy, with all of this craziness being driven in the country. Look at the harmony,
man.
That we can call each other twin. It don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's beautiful.
So is there a track, I mean, from an MC side and a producer side, is there a track on Black Beach that, like, for you best represents kind of the goal or the mission of the project? And as a producer, is the same question. Is there, could it be totally two different tracks, right?
All right, I've never been asked. That's a great question. That's a great question. I think, for me, the record that sums up the theme of Black Beach amazingly would be Etch a Sketch.
I'm playing with my Etch a Sketch. Ripping a 4-5 and I'm thinking like a Martian. Murder the option, I lock in. I just cock game and pop it. I must put fear in. Like Chris Columbus killing Indians. Most of God fear me. And then again, if it wasn't for sin, we wouldn't have a country to be living
it's,
in.
Because it's different.
I guess what I'm saying is,
every piece is a moment. You know, it was like none of, because we did, like I said, in the last 3 weeks, changed this whole album 70%. So it was like nothing was premeditated. It was all, I might have saw something on the news, had a phone call, went over to help this person. This is stuff I was actually seeing, witnessing, going through, hearing stories about, and it was coming, and I wasn't stopping it. So Etch a Sketch, those are all just sketches of, this is what I'm seeing, like looking out the window. That's the whole Black Beach thing.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I would have to go Etch a Sketch.
Was that written, I mean, for you, was that written down on like one writing session, or was, I mean, was it just over?
The song Etch a Sketch?
Yeah.
I freestyled that.
God, you people with talent.
I was just playing with it because he sent me the beat. I think I sent you that back that same morning. He sent me the beat and I just.
So that's a complete freestyle?
Yeah.
Holy shit, wow.
Yeah. I can't even freestyle all the time. Some it just was one of those things. I'm just playing with my Etch a Sketch. It just came and I just went with it. Right. Then I had to try to, what did I just say? That's crazy, man. That was, yeah, I think it is Etch a Sketch. That's, yeah, that's a true story. That's a great question. I had to think about that.
Killing kids, Black Beach become quite dangerous. You can say I got the bag in at the dirty motel. I back in.
Trying to reverse, you know, what Craig did.
No, but you did it really quick.
Like, like, it's like freestyle undercuts it, because it's like he's thinking so right. quickly. You right, know what I'm right. saying? He's like 3 or 4 bars ahead. So, yeah, it was that was a fun process, man.
So for you, what would the I guess the track be for you?
That Keep Me Safe. Keep Me Safe. That record will be so close to my heart for the rest of my days. The idea started with you know, I was just thinking about my life and my privileges, and I was thinking about what kids go through, and you know, my son's half brown, half white, so I was thinking about how he'll be safer, right? He'll be safer, and I felt both a sense of relief and a sense of disgust
yeah.
in realizing that. And that's, you know, so we continued, we had conversations, and ultimately, you know, my son's on the track, his son's are on the track, and, you know, we're really, like he's talking about, we're coming together to really, you know, we're talking about the kids, we're talking about the next generation, and that's what the culture is about. It's, you know, elevating the community and putting people in better situations. So it just, to me, and my homie S1, shout out to S1, did some amazing work with the keys and horns on there, and to me it's just it's a really epic song. It really captures what I had hoped to do with, you know, on that project. I ain't got a problem with it, the God's risen.
You different and it's beautiful. Asking your spirit inspires me the most. Whether talking to God, playing football, or telling jokes.
And this has this album, have you guys performed this album in front of an actual audience, or has that come together?
I performed some songs like in Detroit, and I did a set in Ohio. But life been moving us around so quick. You know, Frost said we did that project, here on to the next one. And then with him being in Winnipeg and me being in the States moving around, it's just be totally different. But the reception, the reviews, and the love I've been getting from it has been liberating at best. It taught me to never censor my right. pure thoughts. You know what I mean? And performing it in Detroit, where you go into an environment where you got everybody raps, but it's all trap point, and everybody talking about selling drugs, and you come in there and you do a song about keep me safe, you do an etch a sketch, or you do one of these pieces, and it's totally left field. But to see everybody stop and they pay attention to it, and then you get so much love, like, that was a good job, dude. Like, yeah, you made me feel like this, man. That's real. You know, I need to start getting on that. I need to start doing this. And then I know I did my job.
Nice, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but the reception's been great. But we're looking to try to pick up with the shows more so now. That's what we're moving around, getting the press moving. We'll pick it up.
I see a quick question. Going back to you, earlier, you guys talked about you grew up in, you obviously grew up there with cassette tapes, which, you know, we all had. Yeah. My grandma used to buy me mixtapes. But illegal ones, but that's cool. But I digress. Anyway, but something you just mentioned, you talked about, you know, we did this, and now we're on to another project. So you also both grew up in an era where, like, you weren't expected to have a new project like done a week later, right? Like, you could actually do an album and at least let it settle for a year. But now you're part of this culture where you kind of are expected to. You do get the questions, and I'm going to ask you the questions. What's next? How do you feel about, like, just in general, how do you feel about that worth ethic? Do you feel like do you want to be, like, kind of like a slave to that? Or would you rather take your time and take a year to do a project versus, like, shit, I got to get a project out. Someone's asking me what's next. I got to get a new song out within the week or within 2 weeks.
Well, with me, I don't rush my process. It just happens to move like that. Like, that's something I can't control it. Like you say, once when I catch it, I'm on fire.
All right.
And I just let it go. So I don't feel pressure, like, okay, we got to have the next thing done. But I do see the relevance with the way music is being sold now. You had to keep something new and fresh coming out.
Right.
So it might be a single or trickling out music from the project, you know what I'm saying, more so than I'm going to jump back into another heavy project like Black Beach. Like, the next project will sound nothing like Black Beach. It'll be my alter ego, Jerk Face, which is totally different from Black Beach. It's going to be the fun side of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Where I'm just going to be spitting bars and crazy concepts and being zany with it. But it's like, I don't feel rushed to do it, because I feel like I'm going to put out pieces that's going to hold weight. It's going to be timeless. Like, I think you'll be able to go back to Black Beach in 10 years and say, that shit's still dope.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And that's what it's about for me, being able to put a piece that I feel like a stand the test of time. So I'll sprinkle some, you know, a couple of singles here and there. We might even do an EP. You know what I'm saying? Like, what we doing here has been so crazy, we might put it out as an EP, just an in-between. But for me, that was like, what, 5 hours work.
Right,
you know what I mean? But it's just, I've been blessed that my brain is probably the ADD. I'm in so many different directions it just floods me, and I can kind of remember a lot and put it out. So I don't succumb to the pressure, but I realize the marketing value of it at the same time. So I try to just find the balance.
And for you, Frost?
Yeah, I feel similar. It's the economics of the business that necessitates it, right? And for us, it's almost like stacking dominoes because, you know, we're thankful for all the people that have checked out the project. But, you know, Earth is pretty big, so there's a whole lot of people who haven't heard it yet. So we're stacking dominoes. So each project is doing a little better. And you know, eventually I think we're going to have something that pops, hopefully, and it'll knock over all the dominoes. And like he's talking about, more and more people discover the music that we've got out there. And I like the grind right now. I mean, I love what I do. I'm chopping samples every single day anyway. So, we got a team, Nostalgia Click, Tone Chop, Zoe the Jerk, and White Rhino. And so I got a team of writers around me. And, you know, we're just going to keep working. I mean, 15 years from now, I sure hope I'm not, you know, having to go at that same schedule. Right. But, you know, right now it feels real good.
So what's next for both of you? I mean, you kind of mentioned it with your new project, Zoe, but... we talk a little bit more about that.
So the new project, I'm gonna call it Bonzi. Now, that's my childhood nickname that only my family calls me. So, with me entitling the project Bonzi, that's a way for me to let people know that I consider us all family. Mm. So they know me the best. So now I'm gonna tell stories. Because that's like my thing, is I can make you see things, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to tell stories that's super personal. Like, you'll get the bullying stories. Like, I told Frost I want to do a song called My Book Bag. You know, and it's a story about when I was getting bullied in school. Not to take the surprise away from the song, but it's crazy. But I was getting bullied in school, and I took a weapon to school to combat the bully. And it'll take you to that exact moment where it was happening and what's going on all around me, what I was feeling, the anxieties, the every punch, everything is captured in it. And when I was telling Frost about it, he was like, okay, yeah, that's cool. And I was like, okay, when I drop it, you're going to go crazy. So then it was like, what, about a month later, and I sent it to him. And he like, dude, like, that's bananas. You know what I'm saying? But it's like when I was seeing it, I could recall names. Like, I can really even smell the air, and it just like came to me, and I put it out. But this whole project is gonna have some heavy songs like that, and it's gonna be a lot of me just having a blast as an MC. I'm a wild out on it. Yes, for sure. Nice.
And Frost, what do you got going for you,
man? Yeah, so much going on. Respect Is Earned Not Given, the new Tone Chop project drops next month, September 29th. It's got the legendary Kool G Rap, Tragedy Gaddafi, DNA, Planet Asia, and Chop killing it on every track. I hope people go out and check that. Bonzi is under construction. We might throw a little something out in the meanwhile that we've been knocking out here. I got That Street with Tragedy Gaddafi is out right now and available. I'm working on a project with Horseshoe Gang, working on a project with Royce of 5'9". A lot of things coming down the pipeline, so I hope people stay tuned.
How do listeners follow what you guys are doing and, you know, keep up with it?
Thank you. Frost Gamble on Twitter, Frost.Gamble on Instagram, Frost Gamble on Facebook. And for people that hear this, man, please feel free to hit me up. I love to talk about hip-hop, love to talk about the culture. So if you checked out the music and feeling it, please reach out.
Cool. And so?
You can find me on Twitter at The Jerk Nation, on Instagram at Zoe the Jerk and The Jerk Nation, and on Facebook, you can find me at The Jerk Nation. Check us out, though, man. Like Frost said, I love to talk about hip-hop, and I would just love to know what resonates with you. Let me know what I could do better, and let me know topics that you even want to hear me talk about. I love to do it, and it's let's keep building the culture, man.
Cool. Zoe the Jerk and Frost Gamble, thank you so much for joining me in the library with Tim Heineke.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much. This is our privilege. We're so thankful that anybody wants to hear us talk about this stuff. Man. Thank you.
Oh, shit, I got to press the recording button.
Shit. Welcome to Black Beach. Keep your hands off the cookie jar too. You say you getting money, me too, let's build. If I ain't eating with you, I don't care how you feel. And that's on the real. Story of my life, I ain't never had nothing. What you think I'ma write? See, I don't know what's right. All I know is win. 100 miles an hour, light speed to the end. Time of counting money, music to my ears. Living life broke is the only thing I fear.
America, so don't talk me to death. I don't wanna hear it, I worked, y'all slept. masking the appearance of the pain mama wept. I was young, disappearing in the streets with a tech. Silly rabbit chasing carrots, emotion for the weak. No lights, no heat, inherited by the meek. The strong rule the street, fresh meat, let's eat. Either you or me, eyes open, never sleep. You a shepherd or a sheep,
you getting money, me too, let's build. If I ain't eating with you, I don't care how you feel. And that's on the real story of my life. I ain't never had nothing, what you think, I'ma write. See, I don't know what's right, all I know is win. 100 miles an hour, light speed to the end. Sound of counting money, music to my ears. Living life broke is the only thing I fear.
America, man,
I don't give a fuck about none of that shit you talking about. I remember slanging out the back door my mama house. If a nigga talking loud, I'm quick to punch him in his mouth. Pour another cup and pass it back with that loud around. Another black kid raised by old dog. Menace to society, attitude, go dog. Yeah, America enslaved me, treated us like shit, did nothing but enrage me. We ain't got shit, is you crazy? What you expect from a rent-a-center baby? Watching Jay die, did change me. I'ma be this way to the day a nigga bang me. Or Trump send troops to contain me. Better send the army or better get the Navy. This is the way that they made me. I'ma give them hell till I'm dead or in the cage. You getting money, me too, let's build. If I ain't eating with you, I don't care how you feel. And that's on the real story of my life. I ain't never had nothing, what you think, I'ma write. See, I don't know what's right, all I know is win. 100 miles an hour, light speed to the end. Sound of counting money, music to my ears. Living life broke is the only thing I fear.
America made me.